Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
A blowout win by the Miami Dolphins to start week 3. Of your fantasy football season in the NFL season. How about that? Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. What'd you think of the game last night, Dave?
I loved watching James Robinson play well, and it was fun watching Miles Gaskins play. I wish they'd let him, you know, score a touchdown. That would be cool. And it's always fun watching Ryan Fitzpatrick beat up on defenses, but usually it's fun watching Gardner Minshew beat up on defenses, and he didn't get that done. He played terribly.
Yeah,
Heath is the mush. Heath is the Minshew mush. He was out him for the first 2 weeks, and then he's in on week 3, and look what happens.
Oh, yeah, and he said, you know, the last time, remember what happened last time Gardner Minshew had the national spotlight? And I was like, oh, the London game? So just keep him relatively anonymous on local TV. And out of you know what, though, if you look back, and we're going to preview 7 NFC home games today. We got some good stats for you. A lot of questions about guys like CeeDee Lamb and the running backs in the Giants 49ers game and that kind of stuff. We'll update you on injuries. As far as this game, you look back at it, though, when they ruled out DJ Chark, did you move Minshew down? Is that a regret maybe that you guys have?
I should have done it. I didn't care. I was excited about LaVisca. I was excited about Keelan Cole. And I thought Chris Conley had reliable hands. I guess not. He had 2 very bad drops in the game that would have helped the Jaguars at least put up some yards, helped Gardner Minshew out a little bit. Frustrating game for the Jacksonville pass game.
I want to play a new game called Did You Notice the Moment When? Did you notice the moment when Jay Gruden and Gardner Minshew were on the bench in the fourth quarter laughing at all of us for having faith in their offense? Did you notice that?
I did.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell are they laughing? Oh, they're laughing at us.
I don't think they were laughing at us, but they should not have been laughing.
Yeah, it was a bit, not good timing. But you know what? You got to keep a positive attitude, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a job. We all screw up at our jobs. Certainly we do, it's okay to have fun, but it's just, you know, you get caught on TV when you're playing miserably. It's not a good look.
Awkward tweet of the day. So I wrote last night on Twitter just before the game, okay, I'm going with a bold prediction because why not? Let's have some fun. Dolphins are going to kick the crap out of the Jaguars tonight, win by at least 17. All right, so I got it right. But Nick Riley responded, oof, I bet my right testicle that won't happen. So apologies.
Send him your address.
Sorry about that, man. Don't go against my bold predictions. I just put another one up, by the way.
And he's down to 1.
Another bold prediction out there on Twitter. Here it is. Jets lose this week. Jets get crushed next Thursday. Adam Gase is fired on next Friday.
Wow.
Bold prediction.
Interesting. I'm sure a lot of Jets fans would be happy about that.
They would probably give their right testicle for that to come true.
The latter part they would be happy about, not the losses.
Okay, Miami 31, Jacksonville 13. So this was domination. Second half was kind of annoying for the Dolphins. They didn't really get much done other than that fumble recovery, which led to a touchdown. Jordan Howard has 3 touchdowns this year. They have totaled 4 yards. But we'll start with the
He has more touchdowns than he has yards per carry.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense because he's nowhere near 3. We start with the running backs.
He doesn't even have 1 yard per carry.
Yeah, he's Kalen Ballaging his way through the season.
Yeah, he's doing a better job than Kalen. Kalen didn't get a lot of touchdowns, did he?
No.
Yeah.
So Robinson was terrific. He's 17 touches, 6 catches, led all players in receiving. 6 catches for 83 yards. He was off the field a lot down the stretch with Chris Thompson getting a lot, also having 5 catches. but still, you like what you got from Robinson. Gaskin is only rostered in 62% of leagues, Dave, and Jamie and I talked about this on Fantasy Football Today in five, but do you have confidence in one of these guys going forward, both of these guys going forward in terms of Gaskin and Robinson?
I'm there with Robinson. He looks good, and the fact that he's catching multiple passes per game is just icing on the cake. He's really, really been impressive. Physical, good vision. I don't think you're going to see a lot of, you know, breakaway plays from him. I don't think he's got the speed for it, but he's got this great opportunity. And despite what you saw on Thursday, I think the offensive line in Jacksonville has been playing better than expected. So it's all systems go here for Robinson as a startable fantasy running back. Gaskin, you know what you're getting with him. A lot of catches. I think that's helpful. And good carries between the 20s. Just once they get close to the goal line, they're like, hey, Jordan, wake up. You're in. And he has to go in and score a touchdown. And those are points lost for Miles Gaskin. There's going to be bye weeks soon. He's going to register as a number two running back during those bye weeks.
You wonder what kind of numbers Devontae Parker could have put up if Fitzpatrick had thrown more than 20 passes. He completed 18 of them. Parker had 5 catches for 69 yards. He caught all of his targets, and he was a little hobbled out there. Gesicki luckily got the touchdown. But Jamie, before we move on from this game, let's talk about the Jaguars and just basically, are you still in on them? They have Cincinnati next week. You know, they're in this stretch with a good schedule here, and they had a bad night. But, you know, should we hang on to Gardner Minshew? Should we hang on to Laviska Shenault, who's rostered in 69% of leagues, or Keelan Cole, who once again led all non-James Robinsons in receiving with 43 yards?
All of the non-James Robinson and DJ Chark guys are going to be in and out of your lineup, in and out of your roster for the next several weeks, because you're going to look at what your team has and needs and then make a decision on if you want to hold on to them. I mean, I don't think Keelan Cole's a must play. I don't think Laviska Shenault is a must play yet. I'd like to hold on to him more than Cole because, you know, there's a lot to like about what he can be. But this is what rookie wide receivers do. You know, they sort of struggle their way through the early part of a season until they start to understand things. And so I didn't think the Jaguars did a good enough job of trying to put the ball in his hands because, you know, he could have done some more bubble screens. He could have done some more things with him out of the backfield. And that's what we were kind of hoping to see. The fact that he didn't have more target opportunity, and he was off the field for stretches. I mean, they were going with Cole, Westbrook, and Conley, and it was a little frustrating, especially down the end of the game. So I don't think he's going to be somebody that you can trust as a starting fantasy option if he's not going to do this when Chark is out. Because when Chark is there, he's clearly the alpha of this receiving core. And who knows how long he's been playing with this chest injury, you know, if it happened last week or was it something that's been bothering him because he hasn't played well yet. So he's a buy low candidate if somebody's willing to part with him. I wouldn't be surprised if some 10-team leagues, if he's dropped, I would pick up Chark if he's out there. But Minshew, the matchups are great. He'll play better. This was just a bad night for him and a bad night for the Jaguars passing.
I do want to point out that catch that Shenault had over the middle where he was in triple coverage and then broke away for extra yard.
It was a stupid throw.
It was a terrible throw, but a great catch and just unbelievably wily after the play. Just
he tried it again later in the game and he should have had an interception.
Yeah, that's true. But the one he had earlier on in the game was really impressive. So it's great to see Shenault making those contested catches and picking up low throws. And you're right, James. They should have used him a little bit more.
All right, so that's it for that Thursday night football game. Music, Dave? Do we do music?
No.
Miami 31, Jacksonville 13. I'd like to apologize for what I said about Adam Gase. Shouldn't root for people to get fired. I feel bad about that, even though he's like a millionaire. But that's not cool. I'm sorry. All right, got a few things to promote. First of all, you're getting a lot of fantasy cop, fantasy regulator questions. We're going to read them on our mailbag, which will air on Saturday. But that's going to be Frank Stanfill and myself reading your questions and regulating, doing some police work on the mailbag show, which we record on Friday and airs on Saturday. So make sure you tune in for that. We got a lot of those coming in. I just didn't really have any time on Wednesday to get to them. Noon Eastern on Twitch on Sunday to answer your start or sit questions, twitch.com/FFToday. But also on CBS Sports HQ, it's not just noon to 1, it's 10 a.m. to 1 all freaking morning answering your questions and going through the games and prop bets and all this fun stuff on CBS Sports HQ Fantasy Football Today. Check it out, 10 a.m. Eastern Sunday morning and Monday through Friday at noon Eastern as well. Download the CBS Sports HQ app. And there you go. We got a lot. Also, Ask FFT. Use it on Twitter. Hashtag Ask FFT. We'll be answering your questions throughout the weekend. News and notes. Oh, man, a lot of wide receiver injuries. Davante Adams really might not play. Julio Jones, Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, we're not expecting to play. Julio's questionable. Juju Smith-Schuster hasn't been practicing. Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller have not been practicing.
Juju's good, though. He posted on his Instagram account. Play me in fantasy or pick me in fantasy.
Yeah.
I'll be out there.
Okay. Okay, good. But we don't know about Adams or Julio, and Adams is Sunday night. And how are we feeling about Jacobs and Waller? They did not practice on Thursday.
I'm nervous. I think both of them could practice on Friday and still be good to go for the game. I'm kind of nervous about the matchup for Waller anyway. I just figured that he'll be the target that the Patriots will try and take away when it's third down, when they're passing, when they're trailing. I'm not expecting a big game from Darren Waller this week.
It is interesting. We know how good the Patriots can be at taking number one options away. He is the only threat in the passing game right now.
Well, Ruggs is banged up too.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so, and then like, should we pick, I picked up Devontae Booker. I dropped Paris Campbell as a Josh Jacobs manager.
I don't think that's a bad move at all.
Is that the guy you'd get between him and Rashard?
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're getting a starting option out of it, but Booker was probably the one who's going to get the most carries. But I wouldn't have a lot of confidence in either one.
I think Rashard has one game in his career with more than 10 carries. They've just never, ever shown a willingness to turn him loose. Like last year, they went to DeAndre Washington. So that's why I went with Booker. But yeah, I'm not going to start him. But I just felt like as the Jacobs owner, made sense to roster him. Okay. MVS, by the way, is only rostered in like 42% of leagues or something. So not a bad idea to have him if you have Davante Adams. Let's see. Kenny Galladay was limited. We're expecting him to play at Arizona. Zach Moss missed practice. So if Moss is declared out, how high do you think Devin Singletary would rise in your rankings?
He'd be a low end number two running back. I think you can count on for right around 15 touches. The Bills haven't been using their running backs much. They're in the bottom five in running back rush attempts on the season.
Jamie, what did you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'd say he'd be right around, 20, top 20. You know, just with the once you get past like the top 15 or 16 guys, it's not exactly pretty. So he definitely gets a boost. you can't overlook that the guy who's been taking him off the field in spots is not there. I don't think TJ Yeldon comes in for those opportunities. So I would be much more happy about Devin Singletary's role.
Yeah. I bet you'd see Yeldon working like third downs and Singletary working the rest.
I feel like, can't think there's a waiver wire guy I'd want to start over Singletary. Would you?
I'd start Kelly over him. If he still falls in that category, I'd start Singletary over Mike Davis, though. If you're just looking at it now, Daryl Henderson loses because Malcolm Brown is practicing in full. So I would start Singletary over Henderson.
I might take Davis over Singletary in full PPR. I would actually.
Yeah. We already talked about the Rams game yesterday, but I think we should discuss this running back situation more because Malcolm Brown's going to play, it seems. Cam Akers, we're thinking no, right?
At this point, yes.
But they are only the Chargers have had more rush attempts than the Rams. And I do think it would be a smart strategy against the Bills to try to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Seems like they're worse against the run than they are against the pass, the Bills. So I don't know. I mean, I have Henderson in so many leagues and I still want to start him.
I'd take him over Brown. You're looking at a guy coming off of finger surgery this week. So is he just the backup and comes in when needed, or is he actually going to play? So that's the question you have to ask yourself, and we won't get that answer probably till the game unfolds. I know what you're saying about the Bills being, susceptible against the run.
Well, more susceptible than the pass. I don't want to make it sound like they have a bad run defense.
No, but I mean, to your point, they played a game and a half essentially without two of their best defensive players. So, we'll see how having those guys back changes things. It's not like teams ran on them with those guys out. They played the Dolphins and the Jets.
Yeah. The thing is with the Bills is that we don't know about their run defense because since last year ended, Jordan Phillips went to the Cardinals, and Star Lotulelei, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, opted out.
Close enough.
So I would like to see what they do against the run this year. I think the Rams will certainly test them. I'll tell you who's going to get tested against the run. The Bengals. Geno Atkins and Mike Daniels missed practice. Miles Sanders. Yeah,
they've been out all year.
Yeah, and they've been terrible all year. So Miles Sanders is going to have 400 fantasy points. I don't know about 400 yards, but 400 fantasy points.
It's a lot of touchdowns.
Desmond Trufant returned to practice for Detroit. Jameson Crowder and Brashad Perryman won't play. Unfortunately for the Rams, Joe Noteboom, their left guard, is on IR. Denzel Ward was limited with a groin injury for the game against Washington. John Brown was limited in practice for Buffalo. We expect him. Sammy Watkins is in the concussion protocol. So does that make any difference for you with that Chiefs-Ravens game if Watkins doesn't play?
I mean, we'll see. You know, the fact that it's Monday gives him an extra day, so hopefully he'll be out there. You're not playing him, but it helps Mahomes.
No, yeah. Right.
James White has not practiced. Really would love to see him get out there, and Jamie made a good point. Like, they probably would want to get him in the end zone if he does play. Mm-hmm. Carolina offensive coordinator Joe Brady says he wants to get Curtis Samuel more involved. Do you care?
A little bit. I care a lot.
I'm stuck. I have to play him this week in one league, three receivers and a flex, and I lost McCaffrey and some other players, DJ Chark. So I was like, okay, I'll see what happens. You know, I figure he'll have 3 to 5 carries and probably, you know, another uptick in targets as well. You're going to try and stay away from Casey Hayward and Chris Harris as much as you can. And so I doubt that those guys are going to be anywhere near him, even though King is a really good defensive back as well.
I remember when they drafted Curtis Samuel, it was the same year they drafted McCaffrey, and he came out of Ohio State kind of like in the same mold as McCaffrey, where he was a Swiss Army knife type of player who could run the ball and catch the ball. And we know that he's not a good deep ball threat at wide receiver. So maybe they're going to try and get him a couple of carries and use him in the passing game. You know what this passing game is for Carolina anyway. They're just, you know, trying to give you death by paper cuts with a bunch of 5 and 8 yard tosses. And Samuel can do that.
Right now, Samuel is reminding me of Devontae Parker, where it looks like every report was so optimistic about Devontae Parker, and he just never, ever produced until he finally did. Maybe Curtis Samuel will be kind of a late bloomer, I hope. Jack Doyle...
No, he's still not in a great situation for that to happen.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking this year. I'm just saying, like, maybe at some point. I don't know.
Maybe in the XFL.
Yeah, no. Jack Doyle returned to practice. I don't know if he's going to play, but if he does play, would you start Jack Doyle?
No.
No, but you can't use Molly Cox then.
Right. Alshon Jeffrey returned to practice. He's rostered in 15% of leagues. He's not going to play this week, but he might play next week at San Francisco. And Christian Kirk missed practice for Arizona. All right, let's do some Beat the Waiver Wire. Well, Alshon Jeffrey's definitely one of them.
Yep.
Yep.
But my question with Jeffrey is, like, he's at San Francisco next week, which really might not be a bad matchup with all their injuries. But then he's got Baltimore. He's got Pittsburgh and Baltimore in weeks 5 and 6. So are the Eagles wide receivers really worth stashing in that case?
Well, I mean, if you have the ability to hold on to him long term, then yes. If you have to, you know, play him anytime soon, then no.
Denver DST is at the Jets on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Like them, 21% rostered.
I wonder if there's an opportunity for Royce Freeman to be a desperation running back in week 4 because he's going up against the Jets.
Well, I mean, Lindsey could be back by then.
He could be, but they probably can win that one without him, and they can just let Freeman handle that role.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't really find a lot of great names for Beat the Waiver Wire, but I do think Traquan Smith at Detroit next week if Michael Thomas is still out, and MVS against Atlanta on Monday Night Football. I just don't understand why he's not rostered in more leagues to begin with. I think people think he sucks because he drops a lot of balls, and he might, but he's getting targets. He's getting opportunities, and I don't know.
But you know what happens in Green Bay if you just drop too many passes. You stop getting targets.
Well, not if Rodgers Adam isn't there.
No, Rodgers will still not fire away at you if he thinks you're going to drop the football.
I mean, I guess so, but at the same time, he'd been raving, like, he was kind of high on MVS last year and then again this year. So I don't know. It just seems like there's some potential there. Just hang on.
They
the
want
ball.
Him to be a thing. I mean, they don't really have a lot of help. You know, ESB's on IR. They don't really have a lot of depth at the position, you know, so they need him.
If both Lazard and MVS were sitting on your waiver wire, who would you pick up?
Lazard.
Lazard is the safer of the two. The higher ceiling is obviously MVS, is what he showed you in week one. And the targets are there for him too. He has more targets than Lazard.
There's one more player that might get dropped this week. And he's rostered in 55% of leagues, and we don't expect him to be good. Well, we don't expect him to have a huge game against Seattle. But Dalton Schultz. So he's 55% rostered, as I mentioned, and maybe that just means that everyone who needed a tight end picked up someone this week, and like nobody needs a tight end anymore. But Schultz has Cleveland next week. They've been horrible against tight ends. Then the Giants and the Cardinals, who thus far have been very good against tight ends, but last year they were terrible. And then Washington and Philadelphia, who have been among the worst against tight ends. It's possible Dalton Schultz is about to have five games of good matchups after this week against Seattle.
That's a great one.
Okay. All right, getting into the games a little bit here. Here are some of my favorite stats for today's NFC home games. I want to know what you guys think. Let's talk about the Atlanta wide receivers. Obviously, if Julio doesn't play, it makes Gage better. But facing Chicago, a slot wide receiver has been the leading receiver against Chicago in both weeks one and two. Danny Amendola had 81 yards, and Golden Tate only had 47, but he caught all five of his targets. Does that give you any more confidence in Russell Gage?
That's a matchup beater right there, because it's Buster Screen in the slot for Chicago, and he just hasn't been good for a long time. And Gage has been getting 9+ targets per game. I would be stunned if he didn't have that many targets this week against Chicago, and I think he can do well with them, whether or not Julio Jones plays.
Okay, I mean, Julio may be a decoy, you know, so he may be out there, but not getting his usual share of targets.
How about the Dallas wide receivers? They're getting so many CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup questions. Seattle has been so bad against receivers so far. All three Falcons receivers had more than 110 yards, and three Patriots receivers had more than 70 yards. Edelman at 179, Damir Bird and N'Keal Harry had more than 70 yards. I mean, that's just incredible.
They give up the most receptions and receiving yards to the position, and it's not close. The only thing is they've only given up two touchdowns to receivers, but
right.
Like the catches and yards, it's like so far away. I think it's like 11 more catches as a team than anybody else, and like 200 yards more than anybody else.
They bend, but they don't break, and they can't get pressure on the quarterback. So it totally makes sense why this is happening, and I think it's going to keep happening.
So what do you think about Lamb and Gallup this week?
Gallup is the only one that I'd be a little concerned about, just from the standpoint of without Tyron Smith in there, they haven't given Dak enough time to throw downfield. And so this is one of those matchups that he should have time to throw downfield. So he's certainly in play as number three receiver, but I think he's third behind the other two. I mean, Cooper and Lamb are just playing fantastic, certainly what they did last week. So it's a very similar matchup for them. Atlanta is another team that doesn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, you got a lot of time for Dak to, or you had more time for Dak to look at those guys, and he went for 450.
I love Lamb this week. I think he's the number two receiver, and for fantasy, I'm saying, not just for the Cowboys. And I wonder if you're struggling with receivers, if you could try and make a trade for Lamb now, because I could see a scenario where he ends up being the number one receiver for the Cowboys this season.
Wow.
He's impressive. I love him.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah.
I love Lamb,
he's
too.
Ready for this.
I like a Lamb Euro is like so good. Yeah, you know, I don't have Lamb that much, but it is like just a killer meat. Right?
For sure.
Yeah.
You don't eat meat, I make lamb.
What's that from? What was that? What was that from?
Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh.
You don't eat no meat, I make lamb.
Okay.
There's a hole in this cake.
it's a bunt.
I don't know. I've seen that movie once and I remember the Windex. All right, Drew Sample. Let's talk about Drew Sample. The Eagles gave up a touchdown to Logan Thomas, and they gave up three touchdowns to Tyler Higbee. Are you starting Drew Sample?
Tight end premium, yes. Deep leagues where you lost George Kittle or may not have George Kittle, or you were starting Jack Doyle, yes.
What about just regular old PPR leagues, James?
Well, I just don't know how many people are going to say I'm starting Drew Sample over Tyler Higbee or Hayden Hurst. You know, I don't think people are there yet, but there's two tight ends that are very interesting, and you mentioned their names just now because Logan Thomas is facing a Browns team that's terrible against tight ends, and he's getting a lot of targets. And Joe Burrow, through two games, has thrown 21 times to his tight ends, and you saw what Uzama and Sample did Thursday night against the Browns. So there's a lot to like about what Drew Sample's role could be, but it also was all those tight ends, getting those targets in week two. Joe Burrow threw 61 times.
Yeah.
You know, so if he goes from 61 to 41, which is probably more realistic, especially if they're able to run the ball, then they're all not going to be as successful because AJ Green's going to still get his, and then Tyler Boyd's going to get his, and the trickle down effect. So I think Drew Sample's a good injury replacement, deep league type of guy, certainly tight end premium situation. If he's still available in the Scott Fish Bowl, go get him. But across the board start, no. DFS, yes.
If George Kittle's out, would you start Jordan Reed against the Giants or Drew Sample against Philadelphia?
Still Jordan Reed.
Yep. Okay. Still Jordan Reed. I agree with that 100% because I would assume that he would get plenty of targets himself.
Yeah.
But put it this way, if you have at this point and you're still holding out hope for Rob Gronkowski and Austin Hooper, Drew Sample is in a better spot.
All right, last stat here that I wanted to give. The Detroit Lions are allowing an NFL-high 6.92 yards per carry to running backs. They've been bad against David Montgomery, terrible against Aaron Jones. So let this be the week that Kenyon Drake, it's not like he's been bad, but let him have a big week. That'd be wonderful.
An explosive three-touchdown type week, yes.
Yeah, hopefully all receiving touchdowns. For me.
Bet one of them will be.
All right, let's do the start-o-meter here. The last three games we're going to get to in starter sit is Giants-San Francisco. Which is kind of a oddly interesting fantasy game because there's so many question marks.
I need the Giants win.
I do too. Yep.
I don't. Titans, Vikings, and Cardinals, Lions. So start-o-meter for any running back in the Giants San Francisco game.
6.5.
For who?
McKinnon in PPR, Wilson in non-PPR.
Yeah, I would say I'd rank them in PPR. I would go McKinnon, Lewis, Wilson, Freeman.
Okay.
Wow, not even Wayne Gallman. Who knows? I mean, he might be inactive for all we know, so who knows?
Yeah. Niners guys ahead of the Giants. Okay. Golden Tate, start-o-meter.
I like what he's done whenever Sterling Shepard has been out. I mean, I think I said this to you yesterday at some point, Adam. 17.5. PPR points over the five games that he was missing last year. Four of those, I think it was eight or more targets. And so, you know, different coaching staff, so take that into account. But his play was elevated last year when Shepard wasn't there. So there's an opportunity for Tate to be successful.
7.
Okay. Yeah, it was 80, and it was 80 or more yards in four of the five games without Shepard. Darius Slayton against San Francisco.
8.
7.
Jordan Reed at the Giants. This is assuming Kittle's out.
Assuming Kittle's out, 7.
6.
Ryan Tannehill at Minnesota.
11. 7.
Corey Davis at Minnesota.
6. 6.
Jonnu Smith at Minnesota.
7. 9.
It's a 7, Jamie?
Yep.
Adam Thielen against Tennessee.
10.
8.
Matthew Stafford at Arizona.
7.
I mean, Galladay plays 7.
Any Detroit running back at Arizona?
Swift would be a 4 in PPR.
I'll say Swift is a 6 in PPR.
If you were just desperate and had crappy running backs, Swift or Deion Lewis?
Swift.
Deion. But I'd rather have Swift on my roster, so if that's the decision, then I'd rather just play Swift.
Kenny Galladay at Arizona?
8.
9.
Marvin Jones?
5.
TJ Hockenson.
7.5.
7.5, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And 5 for Jamie? For Hockenson. Mm-hmm. All right. More on those games a little bit later. We'll break it down in more depth, in more detail. Chicago's at Atlanta. That's our first game. Here's your stat of the game. Looking at just two players here, Cohen and Allen Robinson. You know, I sort of picked an arbitrary number, but there were only four games last year in which the Bears gave up 24 or more points, and the Falcons have been terrific offensively. So if you think they're going to score 24 or more points, Tariq Cohen had 6 or more catches in 3 of those 4 games in which they gave up 4 or more points. And Allen Robinson, in 3 of those 4 games, he scored 21 or more PPR fantasy points. So bottom line, what I'm saying is if the Falcons score a lot, it sets up well for Tariq Cohen and Allen Robinson. Do you guys see it that way, and are you starting them? And Robinson, I'm sure, is an easier call than Cohen. But, yeah, you get what I'm saying. What are you thinking about these two guys?
At some point, Robinson's going to have a breakout game. It could easily happen this week based on the matchup. So he should be locked into your lineups without question and is a good DFS play as well, because I don't think a lot of people are going to play him. If you're looking for Cohen, you know, we know that you're down McCaffrey, you're down Barkley, you're scrambling, and he was probably a guy that's sitting on your bench. He's clearly not going to be good in non-PPR leagues as long as David Montgomery is healthy. The fact that Montgomery's got 6 targets through 2 weeks shows you that they're at least involving him in the passing game enough that that's hurting Cohen. But, you know, if they are in this catch-up mode, it didn't work out well for Cohen in week 1 against Detroit. Hopefully it does work out better for him this week. So he's a flex. I mean, I don't think you should get overly excited about Tariq Cohen, because he's been a disappointment now basically for 18 games. You know, last year he was frustrating, and now this year he's frustrating. He was really good in 2018, but that just hasn't carried over to the last, you know, year plus.
And yet they gave him a contract extension.
He's good for their team. I mean, I guess.
I mean, they're giving twice as many targets to Montgomery than they are to Cohen so far through 2 games this year. Cordarrelle Patterson has as many targets as Cohen has this year. So I don't get the usage. I wish they'd give him the ball more, but we can't control that. They seem to love Montgomery, and Montgomery does look good. I'd rather start Deion Lewis than Tariq Cohen this week.
Agreed.
Are there any, like, typical must-start quarterbacks that you'd start Trubisky over, like Breeze or Rodgers? No. If Adams is out, or Watson?
Breeze, yes, if Thomas is out, and he's close with Watson.
Okay.
Not me. I'll take Breeze.
All right. He's 22nd for Jamie, 23rd for Dave, 20th for Heath, something like that. That may have changed since I did these notes, but close to that. The Bears running backs, we just talked about Tariq Cohen. How much do you like David Montgomery this week? How would you compare him to Josh Kelly, to Mike Davis, Daryl Henderson, et cetera?
I like him. I think he can score. We've seen the Falcons already give up 6 short yardage touchdowns through 2 games, 5 of them on the ground. Montgomery had a touchdown catch last week. That was
I mean, 3 of those were Dak.
So. I know, but still, I mean, they're giving up touchdowns in short yardage, whether it's the quarterback or a running back or whatever. But I feel like Montgomery is in a great spot to find the end zone at least once. He caught a touchdown on a weird weaving play last week that you shouldn't count on. But the week before, he had a inside the 10 target that should have gone for a touchdown. It got knocked down at the line of scrimmage because Trubisky doesn't have good accuracy. And I feel like Montgomery's set for at least 15 touches. That's at a minimum. I'm sure the Bears are going to want to try and get him going to keep the Falcons offense off the field. And he's got twice as many targets as Tariq Cohen. So the usage is good. The opportunity to score is good. I think he's a number 2 running back this week for sure.
He's got top 10 upside, you know, so yes, you should start him over those other guys.
All those, okay, over the waiver wire guys. All right, how about Kareem Hunt or David Montgomery?
Montgomery and non-PPR. Wow. PPR.
All right. So Allen Robinson's a must start. Any interest in Anthony Miller?
I he's kind of like the Jaguars guys. He's going to be somebody that's going to be in and out of your roster. This is an interesting game because if they're chasing points, his usage should be up. But if they're playing with the lead, as we saw last week, he's probably not going to do very much. It's just weird how they're using him. You know, you expect him to be more involved, both him and Cohen. They're very, very, very strange players because they're good. They're talented. They should have more opportunities, but the Bears aren't doing it.
All right. As far as Robinson goes, just last stat on him. He's gotten 9 targets in 2 games, both games. And there have been 4 wide receivers already with 8 or 9 targets against the Falcons, and all of them had 92 or more yards. So it really needs to be a good game for Allen Robinson. There are no excuses here. Jimmy Graham is outside the top 20. It's a good matchup, but just like, you know, you can't trust
him. Hard to trust him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Matt Ryan. Okay, Matt Ryan. So he's top 8. He's like 6, 7, 8 for you guys, basically. And, you know, I feel like most times last year in tough matchups, he was like, okay, not great. Are you expecting better than that? Are you expecting a good game from Matt Ryan?
Yes. I mean, as long as Julio's out there, but even without Julio, he would still be a top 12 guy. You know, it's hard to overlook the volume that he's going to get. And, you know, still having Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, and Hayden Hurst is not a bad fallback option if you lose your top guy, because most of the quarterbacks, like we saw with Drew Brees, you know, he was terrible. So I think if you're counting on him to have the same level of volume, even if Julio doesn't play, which I would still trust Matt Ryan as a starter.
I would too. I don't think I can commit to him still being a top 12 quarterback. He might be just outside of that if he does not have Julio.
Well, I would take him over Breeze and Rodgers without question if those guys are down there, two top guys.
I'm with you on both of those. But for now, yeah, I guess he'd probably still make the top 12 because I'd have to move Rodgers down too. So he might be 12th for me if there's no Julio and no Devontae Adams and no Michael Thomas.
And that would mean behind like Ryan Tannehill?
Yep.
It's funny the how Tannehill would be, not for me, Tannehill wouldn't be better without his top guy than Matt Ryan without his top guy, given the weapons and the amount of volume that you know what you're going to get from Matt Ryan.
Vikings okay. defense is atrocious. It's so bad. Sorry. We'll talk about it. It's so bad.
Todd Gurley or David Montgomery?
Montgomery. Oh, Montgomery.
Todd Gurley or Tariq Cohen in PPR?
Still Gurley.
Gurley. I kind of have Gurley as a sit. He's outside of my top 24 in PPR same. For sure.
If Julio,
if he doesn't score, he's going to be an eyesore.
If Julio Jones plays, would you start Russell Gage or Todd Gurley?
Gage.
Gage and PPR, Gurley and none.
Gage either way.
Okay. All right. And then we talked about the wide receivers. And then Hayden Hurst is like a low-end number one starter. And is that because of the matchup?
I'd like him more if Julio didn't play because then I think his target volume would go up. And the matchup isn't terrible. I mean, we saw Evan Engram have a better game in week 2 than he did in week 1. And we saw TJ Hockenson score on the Bears.
And but, he plays a lot in the slot, you know, so your slot's that going to apply to him too.
Right.
That would be incredible. If they ended up using Buster Screen on Hayden Hurst, Hurst would have a monster day.
So Hayden Hurst or Dallas Goedert?
Goedert and PPR. Hurst and non.
Hayden Hurst or I'll say Tyler Higbee, since it looks like those Bills linebackers are trending in the right direction.
Hurst.
I'll go Higbee, but if Julio's out, Higbee for now, Hurst if Julio is out.
Okay. Bears DST, not a great option this week, but still top 12 for Dave and Jamie and 13th for Heath.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Green Bay is at New Orleans. Stat of the game number one. I think this is actually my only stat of the game. Stat of the game. These are the only two teams that have allowed just one sack so far this season. So that's cool. Hopefully these quarterbacks have a lot of time to throw and Drew Brees can, you know, throw the ball all the way 5 yards downfield.
Oh, he'll get you 10 or 12 yards.
All right. So look, ordinarily Green Bay at New Orleans primetime home game would be a primetime home game in New Orleans. I mean, this you would hope would be a showcase game for these two incredible quarterbacks, high scoring bonanza. What do you think about this game? Is it going to be that way?
Not if you don't have Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams. It's hard to trust it. You know, these defenses don't get the credit they deserve. They're very good defenses. The pass rush is going to be tough on both of these quarterbacks.
You believe that about the Packers, that they have a very good defense?
Yes, they don't have a good run defense, but they have a good defense. They have a good pass defense.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's going to be, look, Tre'Quan Smith and Emmanuel Sanders are the shell of Emmanuel Sanders at this point. And as you just alluded to, it's going to be Alvin Kamara here, Alvin Kamara there, Alvin Kamara here, Alvin Kamara there. Okay, we'll take a, you know, a 7-yard throw to Jared Cook. And look, we threw the ball down the field. It's not going to be pretty for Drew Brees if Thomas isn't there against this team, because those guys are going to put pressure on him. And, you know, I don't want to trust him, even though he's usually great in these spots. And then for Rodgers, he was fantastic last year without Davante Adams, and Aaron Jones played a bigger role. I would feel much more comfortable with him without Adams, because I've seen it and him play successfully. Plus he's just on fire right now. So, I would downgrade Rodgers if he doesn't have Adams, but I'd still feel okay starting him. It's like the Matt Ryan thing, even though Matt Ryan's weapons without his top guy are better. But that's a good defense for New Orleans. I know that, you know, Derek Carr picked them apart, but they just couldn't cover Darren Waller. The Packers don't have that type of player.
How dare you talk that way about Robert Tonyan?
Well, look, if you're still going to start Aaron Rodgers if Davante Adams doesn't play, then you got to be pretty high on at least one of their wide receivers, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I think they're number three guys. You know, they're not a must-start play.
Okay.
Could be Lattimore on Lazard, and that would be bad for Lazard, but they move him around so much that maybe he could end up just getting decent volume. And I still have trust issues with Valdes-Scantling, even if there is no Davante Adams. Stretching the field is great, but you got to be able to hold on to the football. So we probably need to do a little bit more research on who else would play. It could be Equanimeous St. Brown. He had a pretty decent camp. Oh, he is on IR. He couldn't be there. So who would be the new receiver that would step in?
But obviously MVS and Lazard are going to be the two most, you'd have to think they'd be the two most targeted guys. I mean, you never know how it's going to turn out.
I'll give you an example. Like what we did, the Todd Rones, who I share the podcast league with, like we were going to play Preston Williams last night. And I said, oh, well, let's just hold off because we have MVS, you know, so he's not a must play. You know, you're looking at your team and saying, okay, what's on my roster and who can I, you know, maybe play those guys over. But again, it's a good secondary. The receivers last week did nothing for the Raiders.
Right. So I'm just saying, how is Rodgers a start? Like, okay, it's a philosophical question.
He's not a must start. He's not a must start. Like, I mean, again, you could see Tannehill being better than him, and I would have no problem playing Tannehill over him. I'll probably rank it that way because they're close now. Stafford, I would rank over Rodgers as well.
Okay.
If he doesn't have those guys.
This
so it's not
without
like it's
Adams.
Slam dunk to play Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know if I'm running to my waiver wire to pick up Justin Herbert to play over Aaron Rodgers at this point. That's not the case, even though Herbert's got a good matchup himself.
All right, so St. Brown is on IR. You're right about that. Malik Taylor is their only other receiver on the active roster right now. I'd have to go through and check their practice squad to see Reggie Begelton, well, who we've talked about. Darius Shepherd is
Dave,
there. But these are just guys. Just
focus,
Robert Foster is
let's
there.
Let's just focus on the fantasy-relevant guys, right? So let me
but
ask you this.
I'm getting to my point. Maybe it is Tonyan who ends up getting some work. And the Packers obviously saw what the Raiders did and leaning heavily on a big, kind of fast, he is fast, Waller.
Here you go. Here's a prediction for you. If Davante Adams does not play, Mercedes Lewis catches a touchdown because he's on the field 100% of the snaps.
All right. Fair enough. Okay, so let's say Adams and Thomas are both out. Who's the best wide receiver in this game?
Might be Tre'Quan Smith.
Who would you take, Tre'Quan Smith or Lazard or MVS?
It would either be Smith or...
I would go Lazard, Smith. Lazard, MVS, Smith, skip a lot, Sanders. But it's going to be the running backs. I mean, that's where those guys are going to go to.
Okay. Yeah, start Aaron Jones. Saints have a great run defense, whatever. Start Aaron Jones, start Alvin Kamara. He's going to destroy the Packers' run defense. Can't really have any faith in Latavius Murray after his no-show in Vegas. And then Jared Cook is top 10. Mm-hmm. Like him or love him?
Like him a lot.
Okay, fair enough. Sit the DSTs. Do you feel like we have to go more in depth? I'll ask a few follow-up questions. Okay, Tre'Quan Smith or Mike Davis?
Davis.
Tre'Quan Smith or Devin Singletary if Zach Moss plays?
Smith and PPR.
Marquez Valdez, Gantling, or CeeDee Lamb, assuming Adams is out.
Lamb.
Okay, MVS or Michael Gallup?
Gallup.
Gallup.
Okay. And then we're sitting Drew Brees, even though He is the greatest primetime home game quarterback ever.
I had the feeling that this could be a game where Aaron Rodgers puts up nice numbers and Breeze doesn't, and everyone starts talking about how Breeze has kind of lost it.
They were talking about that since Monday night.
I know, but it's going to be 2 weeks in a row on prime time. I could easily see that being the storyline coming out of the game.
And guess what, Dave? They're going to be wrong because I just don't buy it. Sorry to say.
Do you think he's going to play well, or you think he's not done?
No, I think he's not done. I think he's going to have a really good season as soon as he gets Michael Thomas
back. You've
taken
away his best receiver. I mean, it's not always great for quarterbacks.
Absolutely. So. Stat of the game for Dallas and Seattle. I already gave it. It's about how bad Seattle's been against wide receivers, and we talked about it a lot. So we like the wide receivers in the game. I mean, I'm just going to make this simple. Are you sitting anyone? It's all systems go, right? Dallas-Seattle?
Yes.
I don't
know Carlos Hyde.
David Moore. Big game.
Greg Olson.
Dave, you have DK Metcalf in your top five.
I love him. Dallas's defense is brutal. Their secondary just is not good.
Dalton Schultz, I think, Dalton Schultz and Michael Gallup are probably the ones we need to stay on here because everyone else should be started. Well, okay. The running backs and the Seattle wide receivers and Amari Cooper probably started in 90%+ of leagues. CeeDee Lamb, I'm guessing 70%+ of leagues. Michael Gallup. I mean, look, obviously, there are going to be a lot of points scored in this game, so you like that. Bonanza, by the way. who should we compare Michael Gallup to? Like, how many of the waiver wire running backs are you starting over Gallup?
A bunch of them.
Davis, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Henderson, for sure.
Henderson, yeah. But that's probably it. I'm not starting the Giants guys over him.
No, I wouldn't do that either.
How about Darius Slayton or Golden Tate?
I would start both of them over him, yes.
Slayton for sure.
All right. And Dalton Schultz.
I'm sorry, Gallup and non-PPR, Tate and PPR.
Fair enough. Oh, take a drink. I said fair enough. That's the new game. Apparently I say that all the time. Fair enough. Dalton Schultz is not in your top 12, so stash him. You don't have to start him. Who are some tight ends you'd start over Dalton Schultz?
Reed would be one of them. Logan Thomas would be one.
Okay.
Oh, no. I actually like Schultz.
Did you move him up?
Yeah, I think about how I remember the stat where during the offseason where Dak Prescott leans on his tight end, and there's always been like 90+ targets to the tight end. The average is around like 115, something like that. I don't remember it off the top of my head right now. And last week we saw it. No Blake Jarwin, no big deal. Dalton Schultz, 10 targets. Here you go. So in a high scoring game, I would certainly expect Schultz to continue to see a steady flow of targets. He's just right guy, right place, right time. Great matchup. That's a good matchup. Right. It's probably just a solid matchup.
That's where Jamal Adams comes into play for Seattle.
Right. So I like him as a volume-based top 15 fantasy tight end. I'll scratch what I said about starting Reed over him.
This is where I think you look at Gallup coming into play, because if they stay away from Adams, then maybe there's a few more shots to Gallup, who was clearly the fourth guy in terms of targets last week.
But Heath made a good point on Twitch last night. Like, are they really going to put Jamal Adams on Dalton Schultz when...
Well,
you've
mean,
got
he
these
kind
three
of stays in the middle of the field.
You got these three wide receivers, though. You got to figure he's going to be helping
right.
on
so they're not covering a receiver.
They don't play
though.
Man. They don't really play man-to-man defense in Seattle. They're going to play this cover two or cover three type of defense and try and keep all these receivers in front of them and just hit them when they after they make the catch. So Schultz will be open frequently. He's just not going to get a lot of yards after the catch, and when they get inside the five, for example, that's when you might see Seattle play more man coverage, and that's where Jamal Adams could take away Dalton Schultz.
I mean, think about week one for Seattle. Who was the guy that was missing from the Atlanta passing attack?
It was Hayden Hurst. Yeah, no,
very similar setup.
I suppose so. All right, Cincinnati at Philadelphia. I already gave the stat of the game for this one. It's about Philadelphia being so bad against tight ends. Touchdown to Logan Thomas, 3 touchdowns to Tyler Higbee on only 5 targets. So, I'm sorry, Drew Sample or Dalton Schultz?
Schultz.
Okay. Joe Burrow. You know, he's 16th for Jamie. He's 16th for Heath. He's 20th for Dave. The Eagles were fine against Haskins. Got kind of torn up by Jared Goff.
You mean when the quarterback play was better and the numbers were worse?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Funny how that worked.
Huh? Right, interesting stuff there. Yeah, so Burrow, I know people probably, it's hard to really trust him, but over Breeze, right?
Yes.
It's close.
Okay. Volume, volume, volume.
I think Mixon can have a good game.
So I'm worried Mixon about
can
that.
Get more work and be more involved. I'm not getting away from Mixon as a number one running back.
I'm worried he's going to, the Eagles always have a good run defense, although they weren't so good last week, but I'm worried that he's going to have a bad game and then it's going to be really hard for me to tell everybody to stop freaking out about Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
This will be a telltale game. If he doesn't do well, then people
buy
are going to freak
low,
out.
By low.
That's what I think is the right answer, but I don't know. It's so strange how he's gotten off to this slow start. And I think it's more than just the offensive line stinks. I think they're not using the offensive line like they did last year.
Well, it's also, I mean, the Chargers defense is good, and I don't think their run defense got enough credit coming into the season with some of the moves that they made.
That's
the
true.
Browns run defense has been fantastic.
Absolutely.
For
2 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, now, like you said, Adam, I agree with you. I think the Eagles run defense is going to make things tough on Mixon. The thing that you have to hope for is volume for him still. So the fact that Burrow threw 61 times against the Browns, he still had 20 touches, you know, and so keep throwing him the ball, you know, get him in that 3 to 4 catch range again. And hopefully that's the case. He'd be on pace for 40 catches so far this year, which is kind of the number we were looking at for him. So get Giovanni Bernard out of the way. Just keep putting the ball in Mixon's hands as much as you can and see if he can start to break something.
I wish that would happen. I'm just afraid it's not going to happen. I think they like Gio.
He just didn't have the production.
I think Gio still played more third downs than Mixon last week.
Oh, if that's the way you want to operate, fine. But, you know, don't be so obvious in first and second down and just run Mixon when he's out there.
Right.
That I agree.
Get him involved in the passing game on first and second down. Sure. And he had 4 catches, so that was encouraging. So I mean, is he a start, Joe Mixon?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Would you start Leonard Fournette over Joe Mixon?
No.
Would you start CeeDee Lamb or Russell Gage over Mixon in PPR?
No.
Okay. All right. Start Joe Mixon. How about Tyler Boyd and AJ Green? Who do you like better?
Still Green. The volume is just too much.
Yeah.
This might be the toughest game this week, like to predict, at least of this NFC home game slate.
Well, you have a very, very frustrating Eagles offense, and yeah, this is the perfect spot for Carson Wentz to get better. You know, I mean, everybody runs on the Bengals so far this season in the 2 games that they played. But their secondary is not good. And so this home game, they're a favorite at home. You know, you need a win. You need to get your quarterback right. Got people talking about him with his hat backwards. I mean, there's a lot of just, you know, negativity going around with Carson Wentz. This is the time to, you know, prove yourself, and hopefully he does.
Burrow or Wentz?
Wentz.
Wentz, but it's close.
So this is going to be an interesting test because Wentz has, what, 9 games in a row with 40 or more passes and 10 games with 39 or more passes. And it's not like the Bengals have a great secondary, but they've seen the third or fourth fewest wide receiver targets because teams just run all over them. So I wonder if Wentz is finally going to break that streak, if this is more of like a 28 to 30 pass attempt kind of game, because Miles Sanders is just going nuts.
It would be smart for the Eagles to do that, because then you're limiting the mistakes that Carson Wentz can make and the hits that he can take, because that's kind of been a problem for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is where fantasy and reality sort of split. Like, you'd like to see Wentz have a great fantasy game, but the Eagles need him just to play a good game, period. And so, you know, if he's more of a game manager, that's probably better for their team.
Yeah.
Especially now you're down Jalen Reagor.
Right. Push comes to shove. I'm sure that's what they'd rather have. I know that their identity is throwing the football. It's going to come down to how their defense does. And by the way, I'll take Boyd over AJ Green.
Are there any must-start?
We've seen how number one receivers have done against Philly so far this year.
Sorry about that, Dave. Are there any must-start wide receivers in this game? DeSean Jackson's pretty appealing, and then, of course, the Bengals guys are more appealing. Any of them must-starts?
In the definition of the word, no. Or phrase, no. But, I mean, again, if you're getting AJ Green this amount of targets, it's hard to overlook. At some point, there's going to start to be some production there.
Yeah. I mean, give the Eagles credit. So far, they've been pretty good against wide receivers. Kupp had a decent game, but McLaurin.
Yeah, Robert Woods scored, but it was on a rush.
Yeah, McLaurin 61 yards, Sims 50 yards, Robert Woods 14 yards, Kupp 81. But I mean, last year, like number one receivers basically crushed Darius Slay, or they crushed Detroit. I don't know how much of that was on Slay, but I'm not sure it's a matchup you need to really shy away from. And then DeSean Jackson, like DeSean Jackson or Michael Gallup?
Jackson.
Jackson, Gallup. DeSean Jackson or do a running back here. Darrell Henderson.
Henderson. But Jackson's better than all the receivers not named Devontae Adams or Michael Thomas in that Saints-Packers game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I hope so, because he didn't really do so great last week. For 64
you're counting
on nine
him
targets.
Play action, deep ball type thing. He'll get a couple of opportunities deep.
And which tight end do you prefer for the Eagles?
Still hurts,
but it's close.
Okay. Both of them are worth starting this week.
Look, I took a long look at it this week, and just the Bengals, more often than not, they also play zone. And so there's plenty of open space for both tight ends to do well.
Especially with Rager out, there's more targets available now.
That's for sure.
Not that they need it, but still
they're
more
both top 12 in PPR.
Eagles DST, 10th for Jamie, 20th for Dave, 16th for Heath. So we'll mostly call them a sit. San Francisco is at the Giants, and only good news for the Niners is it looks like Jason Verrett is going to play cornerback. Akilo Witherspoon apparently really struggled in week two, and they're already down Richard Sherman, so I think that's why you heard Dave and Jamie like Darius Slayton. They like Golden Tate. I think Slayton is a really good DFS tournament play.
Yep.
He just has big games. And I actually think I'm going to do a fun Daniel Jones lineup.
I was thinking about doing the same.
You know the problem? I started, we're going to talk about it on HQ today. I started doing a Daniel Jones lineup, but on FanDuel, it's just so easy to have superstars. Like I did a Daniel Jones lineup and then I had like $3,000 left. I was like, okay, I'm not going to pass Kyler Murray up for Daniel Jones, but
Not how you win. You got to win with a guy like Daniel.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to do a separate Daniel Jones lineup. And that's much different in DFS versus your just regular seasonal.
No, play Daniel Jones over Kyler Murray. That's the issue.
No, I just meant in general, like he's not a start. You can't, but he does have San Francisco. I don't know what to expect from them. They are a shell of themselves. And you guys think the Giants are going to win. And they have no running game. So there's opportunities there. By the way, in 8 starts with Nick Mullins in 2018, George Kittle was on pace for almost 1,600 yards. Dante Pettis was on pace for 848 yards and 9 touchdowns. So he can get you some numbers, Nick Mullins. He wasn't that bad.
He's also a DFS consideration.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, he's cheaper than Tyrod Taylor, Drew Lock, and who's the other hurt quarterback I'm blanking on right now?
There's Jimmy Garoppolo.
I guess, yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. He's cheaper than all three of them. He's 5,100 on DraftKings.
Well, remember, Garoppolo hasn't been ruled out yet, though, so keep that in mind.
That's true. Yeah. But, even Kyle Shanahan said it's looking like Mullins is going to play.
Well, part of it is because they don't want to put anybody on that surface.
Yeah. Do you trust George Kittle if he plays?
Of course.
You're not sitting him.
Do you... I know we talked about it earlier in the show, but just give me a recap, I think, of the 49ers running backs and how you feel about them and who gets the most carries and whatnot between Wilson and McKinnon.
I think Wilson's going to get the most carries. I think he's the one that you look at non-PPR. You know, he's going to have to score to help you across the board. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's, you know, 14, 15 carries for 60-some-odd yards. It won't be pretty. But, you know, if he finds the end zone, then he's going to be okay. So, like, I'd start him over Zach Moss, for example, if you're looking at it, Moss plays.
Last I saw, he was rostered in 86% of leagues. I'm not sure if that number is significantly lower since I last looked, and it was Wednesday.
Jeff Wilson?
Or Thursday, yeah.
No. 86%? You're thinking of McKinnon. McKinnon's 96, Wilson's 24.
No, Wilson's available.
Available.
I'm sorry, I said rostered in, not rostered. I forgot the word not.
Now.
Not rostered in 86% of leagues.
76
And
now.
I'm you know... I'm in this league with a bunch of guys in the industry where I had McCaffrey and Barkley, and I'm forced to start Wilson, and I'm kind of excited about it. You know, his offensive line's healthy. Kyle Shanahan's a genius. The Giants run defense isn't great, and he's got fresh legs, and he's a physical guy. He could score maybe a 40 or 50 yards on top of it, and he's out there. So if you need a running back, go get him.
Yeah. Okay. I'm starting him in the guillotine league because my running backs are so bad.
And yes, I feel bad about hyping up the Giants' defense, run defense. They have given up now in two games 47 rushing yards in the fourth quarter to Benny Snell and 50 rushing yards in the fourth quarter to David Montgomery. So it's just been weird. They've gotten just gashed in the fourth.
Perfect for Jeff Wilson under the assumption that the 49ers were going to have the lead in the fourth quarter. I don't think they could, sure, but we both think the Giants are going to win the game. Could be a back and forth type game. That wouldn't hurt Wilson, but if the 49ers find themselves down 10 points in the fourth quarter, then it's not going to be good for Wilson.
It's just so funny that you have the Giants are at home. They're facing a team without their best defensive player. Their two best defensive players.
Their three best defensive players.
Their starting quarterback. Their starting running back. They're on the road for the second straight
Debo
week.
Samuel and maybe George Kittle. Right?
And they're still not expected to win the game.
Right. I haven't been giving the spread. Sorry about that. It's San Francisco's -4 right now. They opened -6.5. One thing I'm
that number
at,
may come down because I think once you get Garoppolo and maybe Kittle ruled out.
One thing that looks a little high to me is the total in the Packers Saints game, by the way, 52.5.
Right.
That'll come down.
I don't know. It went up. It was started at 51.5.
If Adams gets ruled out, it'll come down. It'll be under 50.
Sports Insight says that the 49ers are getting 57% of the bets. They're with just, the spread. Yeah. So
with the spread, I'd take the Giants with the points.
I would in a heartbeat. I will in a heartbeat.
All right. If Jordan Reed play, if George Kittle's out, would you start Jordan Reed or Evan Ingram?
Ingram still.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got 15 targets this year. Eventually something good's going to happen. And he was 6 for 65 last week, Evan Ingram. Not that bad. Would you start Dallas Goedert or Evan Ingram?
Goedert.
In PPR, it's Goedert. Not non-PPR.
Do you still have faith in the Niners DST?
Yeah. Because Daniel Jones is still a turnover machine.
Jameis Jones. You hate that.
You're going to start making t-shirts.
All right. Tennessee is at Minnesota. The Vikings,
you might be the most excited person to talk about this game on the planet.
Not to be overlooked. Anthony Barr is out for the year. It's a big deal for the Vikings.
It is big. Yep.
All right. Ryan Tannehill. Let's see. Ryan Tannehill or Matthew Stafford?
Tannehill for now. That may change.
Ryan Tannehill or Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, that's close. I'm sorry. You guys have them back to back. So
I'd take Tannehill.
Yeah. All right. So that's a toss up there. Derrick Henry start, Dalvin Cook start, Adam Thielen start. So let's talk about Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. Corey Davis is rostered in 71% of leagues. I mean, you look at his numbers last week, 3 catches, 36 yards, and a touchdown. It came on 5 targets. Well, Tannehill threw, 25 passes? 24.
Something like that.
24. So,
yeah.
I guess you always have to be concerned about how many passes he's going to throw. But how do you feel about Corey Davis? As we've talked about a lot of, flex wide receivers like the Golden Tates and the DeSean Jacksons and whatnot. Where's Corey Davis in there?
He's a good number 3 receiver.
Yeah, I'd take Lamb ahead of him. I'd take John Brown ahead of him. But I think that Corey Davis is toward the end of that flex range, at least in PPR. Non-PPR, maybe a little bit closer to them.
I'd start Davis over the, Saints and Packers guys, assuming that.
Oh, yeah. Better. Yeah. Minnesota's pass rush is not very good. I won't say it's non-existent. It's just not good. And Tannehill's making plays when the pass rush is right in his face. Just give him even more time to throw. He's going to be fantastic. So super efficiency is in his favor, and I could certainly see the Titans throwing a couple of touchdowns.
This game opened as a pick 'em, and now it's -2.5 for Tennessee. So
I think Minnesota wins the game, even as bad and beaten as they are. They're not as bad of a team as they have shown, and they're at home, desperation time. I think they're going to end up winning the game. The
Cousins would have to have a lights out game for it to happen.
Well, Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I don't know. Dalvin Cook. The Titans' run defense has been pretty bad so far. So obvious. 3 running backs have scored a touchdown against the Titans. 5.2 yards per carry to running back. So it could be a big Dalvin Cook game. Jonnu Smith is a stud for you guys. Top 8. This week, we just saw Mo Alie-Cox have 100 yards on 6 targets, 111 yards against Minnesota. So some of the names you guys are starting Jonnu Smith over would be, correct me if I'm wrong, but Evan Ingram, Jared Cook, yep. Hayden Hurst, yep. Dallas Goedert.
Both Eagles tight ends.
Okay. So yeah, Jonnu Smith, go with Jonnu Smith, and that is it in this game. Tennessee DST is top eight. You can go with them. Last game is Detroit at Arizona. Here's the stat of the game. So far, George Kittle, 4 catches for 44 yards against Arizona. Logan Thomas, 9 targets, only 26 yards on 4 catches. Holy cow, the Cardinals are so good against tight ends. It has nothing to do with Isaiah Simmons, I don't think. He's barely played.
No.
Are you buying that? Because TJ Hockenson burst onto the scene in week one last year and exposed what would become a team that was among the worst in years and years and years against tight ends. Like, how do you feel about Hockenson going into this game against Arizona?
I don't hate him.
He's a low end starter at best.
That's a good way to put it.
Targets will come down with Galladay there. And so is the Cardinals deep. Look, George Kittle got hurt in the game. So I don't know if that's a fair representation of what the Cardinals are going to do.
They hurt tight ends. Scary.
They do hurt tight ends. It's true. You got to be worried about TJ Hockenson.
Just sit. Like the Lions need to sit TJ Hockenson.
No. But yeah, I mean, it was obviously a focal point of their defense, you know, to get better in that area. And so far through two games, it's been the case.
Okay. So is he a starter or a sit, Hockenson?
Hockenson's in that good replacement option type of guys, better than the Logan Thomases and Drew Samples of the world. I'd start him over Dalton Schultz, but I'm not going to start him over, you know, even Higbee if the Bills guys play.
Okay. Stafford is like borderline top 12, right?
Yeah, I hope Kenny Galladay gets in the full practice on Friday because that'll make a lot of people feel better about Stafford. But they're going to be chasing points and garbage time. This is what Matthew Stafford was last year. Hopefully it'll be the case again this year.
I don't think there should be much hesitation, if any. If Rodgers doesn't have Devontae Adams, if Breeze doesn't have Michael Thomas, you can start Stafford if he's got Galladay.
Okay. And we haven't even spoken about Breeze if Michael Thomas plays. So let me just throw that out there real quick. If Michael Thomas does somehow play,
yeah,
where would Breeze rank?
I guess I'd move him up a little bit, but he still wouldn't be top 12. And I don't know how effective Michael Thomas would be if he truly has a high ankle sprain. How well can he move?
Right.
If Thomas plays, you start Breeze. It's obviously case specific, but you feel a lot more comfortable with it.
All right, we got some obvious starts in this game. Kyler Murray is number one for everybody this week. Kenyon Drake, you're starting him. And DeAndre Hopkins, you're starting him. Kenny Galladay, is he an obvious start?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
You can worry about the rust factor and all that stuff. But the Cardinals cornerbacks are solid.
And who's a better flex, Marvin Jones or DeAndre Swift?
Jones.
Jones is the better flex.
All right. So avoid the Lions running backs, Marvin Jones or Deshaun.
I don't hate Swift if you're desperate in a PPR because I could see him getting 5+ receptions and he's been okay. You know, they throw out the touchdown drop against Chicago. Other than that, he's been okay catching the ball out of the backfield.
He's just not carrying the ball, which is the frustrating thing. Mm-hmm.
And finally, so what was I saying? Marvin Jones or Deshaun Jackson?
Deshaun, you know, just given the fact that Rager being out and Galladay being back. But garbage time is going to help him too, you know, so I think Marvin Jones is going to be in a good spot.
I'll go the other way. I'll say Marvin Jones is a little bit better. Certainly in PPR, I think he's better.
Garbage time. Cardinals are now 6-point favorites. They opened as 3.5-point favorites, so people are on the Arizona Cardinals, and Dave is on their DST. Dave has the Cardinals DST fifth. They are 14th.
It'll move down if Galladay plays.
Okay. So, won't be quite as good of a start.
They still might be top 12, but I don't think they won't be anywhere close to fifth. They might be like 11th. Like, I'd have to weigh them versus Cleveland.
All right, big weekend. Week 3. Don't want to go 0-3, all right? So for a lot of you, this is a big, big weekend.
What should people do, Adam? Wins.
What, this weekend?
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to be doing, man. I'm going to be not attending the Miami-Florida State game for the first time since 1998, at least the home games for Miami. It's a big, this is usually a big, let's all go to Florida and go to the game and tailgates is one of the most fun weekends of the year for me every year, or every other year, I guess, when it's in Miami. So I'm a little disappointed I won't be able to do that. But yeah, I'll, you know, be watching college football and getting ready for possibly a Yankees White Sox postseason matchup next week, Dave.
Oh man, I was so excited a week ago, and ever since they clinched, they've been terrible.
Same with the Yankees. Don't worry.
But, yeah,
yeah. We'll talk to you all.
You guys make a bet.
Yeah, we
will.
Make a bet,
we will,
right?
If it's official. We will. But what I was saying, what should people do if they're 0-2?
Oh,
it's not what I was going for. I didn't want a rundown of what
I thought.
You were
I thought you meant what
weekend.
Should they do this weekend?
No, yeah, they should go win your league.
Go win your league, ladies and gentlemen. And watch HQ Sunday morning, Twitch at noon. So HQ starts at 10 a.m. Well, HQ's always on, but Fantasy Football Today starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll have a Fantasy Football Today in 5 episode dropping both in this feed and the FFT in 5 feed on Sunday morning. I want to thank Dave and Jamie. We will talk to you Sunday night to recap everything. Go into the league.